Blog Talk Radio.
With yours drinking and mumming.
ThinkBigRadio.com. Think Big. ThinkBigRadio.com for all your realty, financial, and business networking needs. Hello, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. This is your host, Mary Mary, the Encourager, with your co-host, Big.
Think Big, everybody.
I would like to thank you all for your continued support, and thanks so much for spreading the word about Think Big Radio. Tonight, we have an exciting guest for you, and I want to move right into that portion. Zakiya, are you there?
Yes.
Big, are you there?
I'm here, and I'm waiting to dive in on this fun.
This is going to be a really exciting night. Our guest tonight is Zakiya Sandifer. He's hailing out of New Jersey. He's a creative consultant and author. I'm not going to tell you everything about him because he can deliver it with such power. But we're going to get started right now. So welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
I'm so glad to have you. And what I want to do is just let's just get started so that we get to know each other and so our audience gets to know who you are. Because for some of them, they've just seen your name and don't know. And for others, they're just waiting because they know how powerful you are. So will you tell us a little about yourself?
Wow, that was a pretty good build-up there. That's how I got to meet expectations.
And believe me, it was a modest one. Because
I know, like, wow. Wow, okay. I'm going to start coming off with just a one-word answer. I like what I do. No, I'm just playing. No, like I said, like you guys said, my name is Zakiya, and I'm a creative business consultant, as well as I just recently turned author last year. I came out with my first publication, first book, which is called Think, 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 and Think Again, How Ideas Designed to Spark Change. It's a funny the way I came about writing the book because I owned and operated a design and marketing company since 1995, and which gave me the opportunity to work with various industries and clients. I worked for everything from startups to Fortune 500 companies, and I think that my clients put more value on my thoughts than my designs. Everybody used to always ask me, what I thought about something. They wanted my counsel and things like that. And I was known for my Zakiya-isms and my voices. I was known as like the voice of reason and things of that nature. And this is actually a true story. About 3 years ago, I was taken out the trash when I lived in Perth Amboy, New Jersey, and I was taking out the trash, and I heard a voice in my head, like as loud as I was listening to an iPod or something. It said, Zakiya, you're going to be in front of people, so get ready. And, for whatever reason, I chose to listen to it. And me being the ultimate or an extreme capitalist that I am, I said, I just can't be in front of people without having something on the back table to sell. Unfortunately, I wasn't blessed with a singing voice. I can't put a real mean 16 bars together or anything like that to put any type of rap CD. So I just drew on what I know and what I've done, my experiences, and I'd already put together four published books. From cover to cover, I didn't write them, but I put them together. So I said, "Well, let me just put a book together." And then again, it was like, "Okay, if you're gonna put a book together, what is it gonna be? What's your book gonna be about?" And I just my book is me drawing on past conversations when I thought I was right.
Now let me ask you a question, real quick for our audience. I need you to say the name of your book. I need you to give us your website or where they can find out more about the book. And what was it about your past conversations and things on when you were thinking you were right that gave you that spark to write?
All right, you just kind of hit me with a lot there.
Okay,
I,
let's go.
Say,
the name of the book.
Think, and think again. The Power of Ideas Designed to Spark Change. And,
beautiful.
And it's the reason why I put like the Power of Ideas Designed to Spark Change, because the book, like I said, I have design and marketing company. So my book is like equally beautiful as it is the content. And the best way I can describe my book is it's a really attractive woman with good conversation.
Wow, that's great.
That's the best way I can describe my book.
So that's something like what every man wants.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, thanks for describing me. I'm so
No problem. That's exactly what it is. A good looking woman with like, wow, you actually got something to say. Because men, we know that's very rare, unfortunately. But you can find my book at thethinkmovement.com. Thethinkmovement.com. You can order it online there. And it's also available at Amazon.com as well. But of course, I'm going to steer everybody to the Think Movement because I make a little bit more, I net a little bit better off of my site versus Amazon.
And let me just say, as from what I found, be sure that you put in the THE in front of that. TheThinkMovement.com.
Yes. Yeah, The Think Movement. The Think Movement, not Think Movement. The Think. Because it is The Think Movement.
Yes.
And you said, what made me decide to go with people who, like, when conversation when I was right? Because I found that I was very passively or not knowingly, I was, like, changing people's lives. People were coming up to me saying, Takaya, when you told me this, I did this. You know, you inspired me to go to college. You inspired me to move. It was like people, I thought I was just, you know, saying stuff off the hip, but people was taking it to the heart. And it was
wow,
like Sakaya, like you can't deny this gift that you've given. Because trust me, I didn't ask for it. I mean, sometimes I think it's I really look at it as a gift and a curse because of the responsibility that comes along with having
you,
a gift.
Can you give us an example or a reading from one of your chapters or one of your Sakaisms?
Yes. One of them, and it's the one that starts off the book. It says, it's not the thought that matters, but the thought process that matters most. Have one. It will only cost you when you don't.
Wow.
Let me say that again. It's not the thought that matters, but the thought process that matters most. Have one. It will only cost you when you don't. And that right there, it's just me just when I'm talking to people, you know, and I was talking to, and this is a true story. I had a four family, and we got to go into that too because it's very interesting that I'm talking to you, Bing, but I had a four family, and I had to evict someone. And it was like around this time of the year, like December. And I came there with the sheriff and everything. I'm down doing the business and stuff. And the tenant, he had just got out of jail and stuff, and he was like, yo, Sakaya, you can give me like a week. I have the rest of the money because he gave me half and told me to come back, right? So I said, I was like, okay, all right, you know. And the sheriff, I don't know if anybody's familiar with evictions. The sheriff come out once, gives a serving notice, then they come back again, fourth notice. So I said, okay, you have that interim. But it blew my mind when I sat and talked to him. He was like, yo, I don't think I'm ever going back to jail. I don't think I'm ever going back to jail because the only thing I was thinking about is the things that you used to tell me. And I was like, I only speak to you when it's time for me to pick up my rent. What am I telling you? I didn't get what I was telling them, but I remember one thing that I told them about, like, cats that's in jail. I said, you're not in jail because you're tough. You're in jail because, you know, you didn't really have a complete thought process. Because
wow.
When you're sitting there thinking about it, like, man, it's never worth it. Most people in jail, when they get to jail, they be like, yo, it wasn't worth it if I would have just done this. And it made me, like, in that moment, I told them, oh, you have to have a complete thought process. You have to flip it all the way over to really think about where you want to be. And that's one of my main platforms I talk on now is expectations. I really believe when a person really are in line with their expectations, it dictates their behavior. And the question I ask people is, do you rise to expectations or do you lower yourself to expectations?
I swear, Mary.
Once again, that question requires a thought process.
Yes.
You have to have a complete thought process on it.
There's some background noise. I just want to apologize to our listeners, but I know you're hearing the fire in this message, so we're going to keep on going through this.
Yeah. I wonder where that noise is coming from. Okay. Go on.
So far, what I'm hearing is so much a part of the conversations that we've been having so far in this program and off the program. Because when you talk about hearing that voice in the head, and when you talk about, you know, leading with our expectations, I know that I can surely relate to that. And let me ask you this. Back in my day, people used to say, do you want to be a big fish in a small pond or a small fish in a big pond? And, you know, that question used to always get me because from the second or third grade, I said I want to be a big fish in a big pond.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to be in a pond. I felt like I wanted to be in the ocean. And that was really how I saw myself. But, you know, this is what I want to ask you. Have you seen this? When you think big, when you think with those large expectations, do you find yourself sometimes treading that path alone because some people can't think that way?
Yeah, but I think in everything we do is alone. That's one of the questions that I asked and we bring that up in Kanye and I book, could or would you believe in what you believe in if you were the only one who believed in it?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, now
let me ask that again. Could or would you believe in what you believe in if you were the only one who believed in it? And what people don't realize is that's really a trick question because we all have our own individual thoughts. Because it's nothing but individual, like, it's all like, there's no such thing as one reality. If you got three people in a room, you got three different realities going on.
True.
Because
true.
One person has the benefit of experiencing the other two. So if you were to ask, like, you know, 10 different people, what does love mean? What does hate mean? What does being a Christian mean? What does success mean? Everybody has their own individual. And that brings me to a subject in my book where, like, and I do this when I go out and speak as well, where I tell people, think of a simple two-digit addition problem in your head right now. Think of a simple two-addition problem. I want you guys to do it right now. Big American. Think of a simple two-digit addition number.
A two-digit number?
Yeah, two-digit addition number. Like two numbers that you're going to add up.
Okay.
And think of two numbers. All right,
okay.
Now I want both of you to tell me your number now.
Mine's is 11.
Your answer. I'm sorry. Tell me your answer.
Oh, 22.
When I add the two together?
Yeah. What's your answer?
Okay, mine is 25 when I add the two together.
Okay, and what's yours, Big?
22.
And see, the beautiful thing about that, you're both right.
That's right.
You're both right. Like, everybody has their own math. And that's the whole thing. Do your own math. How can yours sum up to mine? You know, it's like, but people, what they do is they allow other people's problems. Like, they allow other people's solution. They try to adopt that other person's solution for theirs. And mine, it's like my number is 1 plus affinity because there's no ending to me. You know what I mean? So it's like if you can't allow yourself with that, most likely it's going to be a problem. But if yours is 1 plus 1, that's cool. When you get to 2, you're going to be good. But I could get like at 3 million, I'm like, yo, I still got so much to go. I still have so much to go because I really do believe in that I am connected to this universe. And the universe is infinite. So how it would be crazy for me to put a limit to myself.
Yeah. You're right, and that's why we are here at Think Big Radio. We love to have big thinkers on board because it's with these types of insights that it allows people who may not have thought, you know, this way to say, hey, you know, I can change. There is something out there that's bigger and better than my present situation.
Yeah, every day is definitely an opportunity to get better. Every day. Always strive for the breakthrough.
Now, you know, as the host here, I have to ask this. You know, where would you say this started? What is your earliest? Where did this start with you? You know, is it family? Is it community? When do you remember?
I think it started. I can't really tell you. This is not a gimmick for me. This is just who I am. I've always thought and always behaved like this. I've never been a person who strived to be like everyone else, and I definitely never let the fact that nobody else was doing something stop me from doing something. I mean,
wow.
I'm a person, and I remember, I never forget it, my mom, we moved to a small town in Mississippi in my sixth grade year, and I was the new kid in the class, and everybody was playing drums. Like, all the boys played the drums, and I was the man that was out. I was the odd man out, and everybody, you know, was kind of, you know, bragging on how they was playing the drums. So I said, you know, I'm going to play the drums, too. But they just played the drums, like in a little elementary class. So I went in the second semester of my sixth grade year. I'll never forget, his name was Mr. Pickens. Mr. Pickens, I want to play the drums. And, of course, any guy or any person who's ever played the drums, they can relate to. When they say they first want to play the drums, they want to come in there and just start beating. They just want to be like, bah, bah, ba doo, ba doo, ba doo, blah, blah, blah. And he said, I'll never forget it. He set me in that back room with two drumsticks and a book and said, all right, go bop, 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 bop. And I was like, yo, no, I want to play the drums. And he was like, no, this is how it's going to start. You have to do like this. And I would say, and by my seventh grade year, at the beginning of my seventh grade year, I was good enough to play with the high school marching band. And I was the only, like junior high, like seventh grader that was actually getting signed out to go play with the marching band, because, like, that second semester and all the summer, I was beating on everything. I remember my mom's, like, you know, getting on everybody's nerves. I was, like, beating on the bread. I used to beat on a loaf of bread just to say, okay, if I can be on this bread and not dent it up, I will learn control. And I don't know. Maybe it's just that I have a little obsessiveness what's that disorder when you obsess over stuff?
Obsessive.
Let's call it genius.
You know, sometimes I have a little of that, and then I also have a little attention deficit because I get lost in it, and then nothing else matters to me. You know what I mean? It's like that's the only thing that I wanted to do. I wanted to play the drums, and I played the drums all up to my second year of college. And, you know.
Now, what I heard in that story was that you had someone who actually took you aside and taught you some structure and then let you go with your creative ability within that structure. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Because it seems that sometimes some of our friends and relatives, our associates, sometimes it seems like we do lose our passion or lose our focus because we don't have a structure. We can be creative and we can have genius, but we've got to have a goal to direct it toward, would you say?
Yeah, you have to have a goal. I mean,
and
let me
make a comment right here quickly, too. And the good thing is that going back to what you said earlier is about the thought process, because a lot of people, when they have that thought and they don't really know what to do, but when they take the process is a system, because the system that you use was the system to write this book. Now, I've read a couple of pages through the book, and it was so good that I wanted to sit down and say, you know what, I need to read this when I have the time to do it, because I was just like, wow. You know,
this
I
is
really
a book.
Sit down.
You know what's crazy about my book is like I'm a non-reader. I'm not going to front it. And then once again, the power of the thought process, I was like, yo, we live in a generation right now where people stand in front of a microwave and say, hurry up. So why am I going to sit up here and try to write, you know, like I could flush out my logic and theories to, you know, it could be volumes. But I'm like, is that going to sell in today's marketplace? So I designed a book for non-readers that seriously, it should take you more than at tops 15 minutes to read my book. But I wrote it designed to be a spark that every time you read it, it's going to open a different door in your mind. And it's like if you read my book once a month, you should it should take you to another thought process because it's all about growth. It's all about, like, the evolution of you. And the same thing shouldn't be – well, some things are because, like, every day you should be asking yourself, what do I need to start, stop, or continue doing to get what I want out of life? And hopefully those answers should change. You know, what you should start, stop.
As you grow, yeah.
Yeah, as you grow. Because, you know, anything is not going to work, you know, for me, you know.
Let me just, I want to share something from your site. You had a couple of people who had made comments about your book, and one of them says, Sakaya so elegantly and simply explains that hoping and drifting will not get you very far. It is up to each and every one of us to carve our place in this world. And by thinking, striving, and being accountable, the impossible becomes possible. That was from Kelly Mathis of 20th Century Fox.
Yes. Say that again. That was from who? Say that name again, please.
Kelly Mathis.
Of what?
20th Century Fox.
Yeah, that's the name drop I was doing there. Okay.
And there also is a name that I want us to explain because you mentioned this name, but our audience may not know the connection. And this person said, after reading some of the early sample pages from Think, 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 and Think Again, I was convinced this book was destined to be a New York Times best-selling classic, and that was from Kanye West. Now, many of our audience know who Kanye West is, but not all of them know that there's a connection with you and Kanye West. Can you tell us some more about that?
Oh, wow. You know what y'all should do? You on the site right now? Because he wrote my foreword. He wrote my foreword, and it would be really, really incredible. Like, if you click on the book, it should go to the foreword. You should just read the foreword. It is that right there would explain everything.
Tell us the site.
Thinkmovement.com. Thinkmovement.com.
Okay, tell us a little bit for those people who are listening and they don't have that. They'll check it out later. But tell us a little bit about you obviously know Kanye West. Tell us a little about that partnership or that relationship or whatever it is.
Well, actually, I've been knowing Kanye for the last, like 22 years. We have mutual his mom's, my mom, and as well as my aunt were very close. And I used to babysit Kanye starting as early as back as like 85, 86. And like how you said earlier, we all on his phone for a reason. I think the stats just lined up that at the time when I was still living in Chicago, I was working on a magazine called Spotlight Entertainment. And it was a free local newspaper publication. And I was the lead. I was actually the only designer. I was designing from cover to cover. And they did an issue for, it was the best of the best of Chicago. And they were talking about the best, you know, everything, producers, rappers, graphic designers, barbershops, you know, chicken places. They was like the best of the best of Chicago, and his name came up. And at that time, I'd been back in Chicago maybe like 4 years coming back from college. So I think I only seen Kanye maybe three times in like 6 years. I think I've seen him maybe around three times because he was off doing his thing. I was off doing my thing. But when I saw his name, I was like, hey, I know that guy. You know, I'm going to hook back up with him. So we hooked back up, and we got to re-know each other as adults, as men, you know, not just, you know, the teenager babysitting the little kid. And it just so happened I decided to move to New York because I felt like the best talent was in New York. I feel like I'm the best, so I want to go there and compete with the best. So, and I moved out here December 2000. And it just so happened, without me even knowing it, he moved out here in February of 2001. So, but us both being kind of like isolated out here, we got to really, really get close where I really consider him like one of my best friends. Like I only have like three people I really consider my best friends, and he's one of them. So one of the things that I used to do for him was be behind the scenes person, giving him, you know, my voice of reasons. Hey, no, you should do this. You should say it like this. You should say it like that. Just so happened, once again, the stars lined up to put me, him and I together at the Grammys, and I helped him write the infamous, I guess we'll never know Grammy speech. And from there, we saw that we had such a dynamic synergy that normally when he has a speech to give, if I'm not there with him, I'm on the phone with him, fleshing out like concepts on what he should say. And the beautiful thing that I love about Kanye is it's not like he ever goes off a script. It's almost just like I just give him talking points. Okay, these are the 4 points that you should talk about. And once we get those talking points, he has just that just incredible, as they say, God-given gift that when he takes it out, and I guess because he's speaking from his heart, it's easy for him to deliver it. You understand?
Yes,
so when I wrote my book, the only thing, like I said, I showed him the samples, and he was like, man, I really want to help you get this published. And I was just thinking, like, man, if I could just get you to write the foreword, you know, shoot, that's money in the bank. And after that, we was trying to get it published, and he called up, and this is a true story. He called me up and said, Sakaya, people been approaching me about writing a book. I didn't want to write a book until I read your book, and I want to write a book similar to yours, but with my voice. Would you write it with me? And he's calling me up, soliciting me like I'm gonna say no or something. Like, try that on your own. So him and I, we're about like 90% finished with the book, which is entitled "Thank You and You're Welcome."
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn.
Hello?
Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Callers, call in at 718-664-9989. That's 718-664-9989 to listen and get in on this dynamic thinker.
Now, we have a caller on right now.
Oh, really?
Caller, are you with us?
Yes, it's Coach Dion.
Hello?
Okay, we have Coach Dion calling in.
How you doing,
Coach
Dion? Hello, how are you?
I'm awesome. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good.
I actually don't have any questions right now, but I'm driving, so I'm not able to listen online, so I decided to call in to listen in.
All right. Thank you so much. Love it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You got to throw
and
me
I'm
off right there. Okay.
It.
Are you enjoying it? What parts are you enjoying?
I'm so enjoying it. I'm enjoying how the book came about. I just finished my book, so I know what it takes to create a book. And just listening to you co-create with Kanye, I just can't wait to get into that because
yeah.
I know it's going to be a dynamic book.
Yeah, it is, and especially like with the recent events and things, the book has definitely taken on a whole new meaning where, the book has just taken on a whole new meaning and everything. I think – really, everything in life, that's one of the things, if you have to make, you know, lemonades out of this lemon, that it, for me, it forces me to go into an extreme reflection mode where it makes me really rethink, like, everything. And
we have another caller, too.
Okay.
We have a caller from the, I believe this may be the New Jersey area, 201. We have caller 201.
Would that be me?
Yes.
Okay.
And who is this speaking?
This is fellow Mark Sood.
All right.
What up?
Hey, man, what's going on?
What's going on? How are you?
Nothing. I am sitting here enlightened.
You're enlightened?
I'm very enlightened. How could I not be enlightened about something that brings a spark?
So, that's true. Well, you know, my theory about me being a spark is I'm a spark for a lot of dormant gasoline, but I also know it's a lot of water out there, too. That allows me not to take things so personally. You understand? It's like,
okay.
It's a lot of dormant gasoline out there that people that don't realize that when my spark hit it, they're going to automatically ignite. I don't have to even worry about it. But I have no interest in trying to ignite water, you know?
Right.
Because it just takes too much energy. It's going to burn out. It's going to keep burning itself out. So.
Well, as you and I both know, there may be a lot of dormant gasoline, and I believe wholeheartedly that you are the spark. But one thing that, for the sake of man and humankind, I hope there's not a lot of gas in that water.
We have another caller also. We have a caller from area code 551. Where is that?
This is JJ.
JJ, and where are you calling from?
I am calling from New Jersey.
Oh,
Jersey City, New Jersey, yes.
Do you have a comment or a question?
Yes. Actually, it's like a comment, and it's kind of a comment slash question because it's like, what made you want to write a book?
Initially, I would say what made me want to write the book was seriously me listening to my premonition and to spell something on the back table. But after that, I just realized that I had a calling that I had to keep going after, regardless of the obstacles in front of me. I have to keep going.
Now, all of our lines are full right now, so if there's any caller who has already asked their question and they want to free the line for someone else, that'll be fine.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'll free the line and say that, again, thank you for writing such material for those minds who are in need and in search of such instrumental, powerful words.
Hey, fella, before you get off, did you have a chance to, have you had a chance to read my book?
You know, I read it like three times today.
Three times today? Would you like to share your comments? Because if I say it, it comes off just me being arrogant.
Well, you know, I like you arrogant. you know how I feel. A lot of people mistake arrogance when it's actually confidence.
Uh-huh.
So I speak for you in that manner. Most people may see it as arrogant, but I see it as confidence. And what I like to say about the book, and then I'll hang up, is that this book is not only a spark, it's a tool. In any situation or in any enterprise or business, there's a tool that makes something work, fixes, or repairs. And what you're going to do with this book is repair a lot of minds. And I hope that I can not only be a part of the garage that repairs those minds, but also become a tool. You have inspired me, and I commend you and applaud you. And not only do I admire you, I uplift you to continue to spark those minds that only need a spark.
That was beautiful.
So
wow, man. If I was high yellow right now, I'd be blushing, for real.
Well, I'm not going to tie the line up. I just want to get in my bit and tell you how I felt about it and to let you know that I support you not only 100%, but more importantly, I support you with my heart. And
all right, man. I definitely appreciate it, sir.
Please.
I do.
Never.
Those have been some very timely, perfect comments. You know, and one of the things that we want to make sure that everyone knows is that's the purpose of thinkbigradio.com, because there are many people who have ideas but really don't have an audience. And
right.
So this is our goal, is to be able to bring together people who can appreciate the kind of gifts that you're bringing. You're not just bringing these gifts through your book. You're bringing them through who you are.
Yes.
It wouldn't matter what the medium is, because you obviously have been anointed, appointed, and it's necessary for you to get this message out.
Absolutely. Actually, I just read a great quote by Gandhi, where he said, my life is my message. And I really identify with that.
I want my life to be my message. It's the way that I live. It's who I am.
There was one thing earlier. Let me just say once again for those who came on, may have come on later. The website is www.thethinkmovement.com. That's thethinkmovement.com. And the email address is info@wethinkllc.com. info@wethinkllc.com.
Yes,
okay.
That's what we do. We think.
Well, Kanye and Think Big and Think Big Radio have only gotten an intro to what the world will see in the very near future. So with this book, Think and Think Again, Kanye, you sparked the interest, and you guys on Think Big Radio will only start to think bigger. Much success and prosperity.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
All right. Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
You know, you said that the topic is the power of expectations and getting what you want out of life.
Yeah.
And that's what we're dealing with, that we are our message. But you know
what?
Oh,
absolutely.
We are our message even if we're not living to our fullest. You know,
There
was a study out just recently that said that in the black community, we have become more pessimistic. That it's 2 out of 5 people a few years ago say they saw something positive in their future, and now it's only 1 out of 5. We got to turn that around because anything we want is a part of our future.
Yeah, we have to. We're going to have to do. Yeah, I agree with that because I had the privilege of facilitating a youth development program. At the time, he was the city director's, a gentleman named Carmelo G. Garcia. Wonderful, wonderful guy. I mean, I owe him a lot. But he gave me an opportunity to be in front of the youth for a year. And it was amazing to me how, once again, it was just all about the expectations. It was like, and I felt like the masses were lowering themselves to the expectations of the school system, of their parents, of their environment. They felt like, well, this is all I'm supposed to do. This is all I'm supposed to do. And it was like, well, if that's all you're supposed to do, that's all you will do. There is no, especially in today's climate, with technology at the pace that it's going, there is no excuse anyone can really use or should use for failure.
That's right.
And I, because everything I do, I try to associate it with something with economics, because I believe with the power of economics, you know, with prosperity, you know, that is when you can really create a lot more change. But I tell people that there was somebody in my lifetime who thought of the idea, marketed and sold the concept of a pet rock.
Yeah, that's right.
I refuse to believe that I can't sell a book. I just will not buy into that, to that idea that I can't sell a book. When somebody, and think about the conviction of that man who said, yo, I'm going to sell this. You're going to sell what? Just imagine that original conversation the first time he spoke it. It's going to be called a pet rock. Guarantee you people was laughing at him. Guarantee you're going to sell a pet rock? Who's going to buy a pet rock? This dude is a multimillionaire from selling a pet rock. So, you know, so when you have that as a basis of your thinking, it's like, what can I do?
That's right. That's
what
right.
can I do? I'm a you person, know, seriously, naively, I don't know if it's, I don't know, like I said, if it's a gift or curse. I don't buy into what I can't do. I'm more on what I will or won't do.
And I'm the 773.
Hello?
Okay, go ahead. I'm here.
No. I don't want to. I can, you know, go long-winded and dominate, you know, conversations.
Hey, this is your time. Now, the only thing is we don't have as many minutes left as we would like.
Really?
And so what I know the time just flies away, doesn't it? What I want to ask you, though, is you've talked a lot about the passion. You've even mentioned a couple of challenges here and there and how you looked at that. But is there any advice or anything that you would like to leave with our audience?
Yes, I would like to leave with the, how do I want to say this? I want to tell people to ask their organizations and schools and stuff to have me come to speak with them live, because the live presentation is I can't even describe it. It's like you just have to experience it. One of the greatest joys I just had is that I was up at the Bronx Community High School, and not coming off of TV, not a rapper, athlete, or anything, I'm really coming in there as a thinker with a book, and I had like young urban males asking me for my autograph. And that just really just solidified that I am actually touching. I'm actually touching people, because the young urban male is one of the hardest demographics to break into. You know, I'm not hard on the eye, so I knew that, you know, the girls and stuff were going to be liking me. But
you're funny. Now, let me ask you this. My question is, you gave us something from the first. Why don't you give us the last reading in your book?
Oh, the last reading, oh, it's incredible. Nah, I can't give you the last, because that's going to give the book away. But I give you...
You gave us the first, but not the last.
Yeah,
so
I can't give you
the... Right.
Okay.
Okay, give us something
in
the middle.
Give you one.
Our last few minutes, so...
Okay, let me... So...
Just flip it open. That's going to be what the audience needs to hear.
Power. Why do most of us give it away and condemn those who don't? Let me say that again. Power. Why do most of us give it away and condemn those who don't? That's something that I don't even want to try to answer for people. Let it marinate. Feel free to reach out to me at thethinkmovement.com. The emails are there. All the contact information is there. Feel free if you want to know about getting me there on site. If you want to purchase my book, we definitely offer them in volume discounts as well. If you buy a minimum of 100 books, and those can come autographed as well. And the Think Movement, it's all about the Think Movement. It's about you thinking. It's starting with you thinking about what you want out of life. And once you figure that out, work backwards to get it. When I say work backwards, like if you say you want to run a marathon, say, okay, now what is it going to require for me to run the marathon? And then just work backwards and figure out step by step the things that you need to do.
Now, one thing we always like to do is give you an opportunity to thank anyone you would like. So would you take this moment now and
Absolutely. I would like to thank my family, my daughters, Jasmine and Jamila. They are the fuel of my life. I would like to thank my brothers and sisters, like all the six of them. I really learned from you guys. I'd like to thank my parents, my mom, who sacrificed what she did, my father, who took on, you know, the responsibilities that he did, my grandparents, my friends, you know, my phone buddies, my clients. And most importantly, I would like to, I have to thank my friends, Eric, Kanye, John. But most importantly, the person I would like to thank more than everybody is me for having sense enough to listen to people.
Wow, that's great.
Well, I think that's perfect. You know, we've talked about the power of expectations, and I am glad I've had a chance to meet you. And you will definitely know me, because I'm going to find out how to be wherever you are so I can get to meet you. And as we move forward with the radio program, I want to ask you, would you be willing to come back again?
Yeah, actually, yeah. And I was actually talking to a big behind the scenes that, you know, I was inspired to start a radio program myself.
Oh, that would be
like,
great.
Yeah, like, you know, let's keep this thing going. There can't be too much of a positive thought process out there. It can't
be
enough. I mean, it's not like it's only one video channel. You know what I mean? Let's compete with that. Let's compete with BET, VH1, and MTV. You know what I mean?
And my last seconds, I want to say this. Buy the book. We speak with
buy
our
the book.
Dollars and cents. We speak with our dollars and cents.
Absolutely.
The book. And
absolutely.
Let's support each other.
Yes.
Thinkmovement.com. Thank you for a wonderful night. My time is totally up.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right, cool.
Big. ThinkBigRadio.com. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Think big, everyone.
Good night.